Welcome to the Money Wise Women Show, brought to you by MoneyMorphosis.com. Are you ready to be inspired to upgrade your financial skills? Listen to feminine leaders sharing practical advice and valuable insights. Shift your money mindset, improve communication skills, and learn financial management tips. Although we do not provide investment advice, you can check out MoneyMorphosis.com. That's money-morphosis.com to find simple ways to boost your true wealth.
Hello, this is Crystal Arnold, your hostess of Money Wise Women and founder of Money Morphosis. And I'm sure if you're an entrepreneur in this day and age, you are aware of how important social media is and really want to know how to make the most effective use of your time online and how to really build and engage an audience of people who you can support and serve. And so this is why I brought on our guest today, Heidi Richards Mooney, who is a self-described serial entrepreneur and the author of a dozen books and a social media consultant and trainer. So Heidi helps small business owners make sense of social media, navigate the social web, and learn which questions to ask to get their websites, blogs, and profiles found online. As a professional speaker, Heidi shows audiences how to get their blog on, save time on social media, and maximize the internet to promote their business. So Heidi conducts full and half-day trainings to help corporate employees leverage social media and to get more done in less time and add to their bottom line, which I'm sure is appealing to you if you are an entrepreneur like me. She provides one-on-one coaching to women who want to maximize their time and leverage social media to grow their businesses. Suzanne named her one of 50 rich media influencers to follow in 2015. And her latest book, Quirky Marketing Calendar, 500 plus ways to promote your business using zany and non-traditional holidays, is in its 11th edition. So pleased to have you here, Heidi, and would love to begin just by hearing why you are so passionate about the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Crystal. It's my pleasure to be here. When I first learned how to use social media, I think it was so exciting to me to feel that I could conquer it or at least understand it and not feel so frustrated, because I can remember the days when I was, and I was so confused by it and really felt like I could never really grasp it. I'm not really a tech person. When people ask me their tech questions, I couldn't tell you the first thing about how to fix something. But I'm a marketer. And really, if you approach social media from a marketing perspective, I mean, I've been marketing since way before social media. I've written books on it. I used to speak with the SBA, to the SBA. I was one of their lead presenters for the Small Business Development Center locally in South Florida. And I really loved helping entrepreneurs to market their company. So really, once I realized that that's all social media is, it's a way to promote whatever it is you're doing. It could be a personal thing. It could be a professional thing. It could be finding friends, connecting with people. It could be, maybe finding your future, significant other, if you will. So when you understand that that's all social media really is, it becomes a lot less imposing and scary, I think. At least it has for me. So what I really love about what I do is that I can share that with people in such a way that they understand it and they're not so fearful of it. Because most of the reasons people are not successful with social media is because they fear it. They fear it for many reasons. They fear it for security, for privacy issues, or just lack of understanding, as I mentioned before. So I love the fact that when I can help a person understand it, this light goes off in their mind, and you can see that. Their eyes light up, and they finally get it. Once they get it, then they can decide if they actually want to do it or not. And I think it's the getting it that's important first. And then they can hire people like me to manage it, which is what I recommend to most people, because unless you are passionate about actually doing the work, you're not going to do it. Because if you're an accountant, you're an accountant. You want to focus on what you're good at. And so I tell my clients, or I advise my clients, that if you want to use it effectively but you don't have the time to do it, then you find somebody who understands your company, understands your business, understands your industry, maybe works within that industry to some extent, not necessarily with competitors, but with similar type industry people, then they can have a better, they're going to be much better equipped to help you promote what it is you do, because they're going to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. So for me, not only being able to help people understand it, but then to help them achieve their goals. You know, I'm a born teacher, and I think that loving to teach and train and educate people is part of the reason that I do this as well. So that's why I love it and why I'm passionate about it, Crystal.
Wow. I totally agree with you. It's so helpful to have some professional support in our business, in particular around the marketing and sharing on social media, and to really do it strategically, because I do see so many business women I know just putting up a lot of things and maybe not getting a lot of response or engagement, or just really not speaking to their audience. I'm sure there's a variety of causes, but getting discouraged and feeling like, you know, there's so much information and noise out there. I think it can be hard for an entrepreneur to feel like they're really being heard and effectively getting the message out there. And so I'm curious, what common struggles do you see with women entrepreneurs around this?
Well, obviously it's a lack of confidence and a lack of understanding, as I mentioned before. Sometimes you do have to have a plan. You mentioned having a plan and being strategic, and you really have to be with social media. You have to have, and it can be a simple plan, it can be a complex plan, but once you've developed a plan and you know where it is you want to go, then you can, it's like creating your business plan or a marketing plan for a year or even a budget. You have to know what you want to achieve at the end of the year or the end of that time frame. So if you don't know what you want to achieve, then you're obviously you're going to flounder. You're going to just put up anything. And I've seen this over and over again. I've done it too on social media. Sometimes I'm just lazy on my own stuff, and I'll just post something just so that I can have a presence. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it isn't strategic. So on for instance, Twitter on Mondays is Motivation Monday. So I'll usually post a little motivational quote on Twitter on Monday, because I don't really want to spend the time there at that particular time, but I want to have a presence. I want, you know, you also have to keep in mind that out of sight is out of mind. So if you're going to use the tools, you have to use them properly. And so, you know, the lack of confidence, you know, not knowing if they're posting the right things, not knowing when it should be done, not knowing if it's going to achieve their bottom line. You know, people, it's kind of like this whole thing with when women have money mindset issues too. And I think that a lot of it is the same thing as the issues around social media. You know, we tend to be more conservative, I think. Now, that may not be true with social media, but we don't want to take too many risks, or maybe we don't want to spend a lot of money. We want to try to see how far we can go on the free part of social media before we start, you know, putting our toes in the water and investing our hard earned cash. So women tend to not be as risk takers as men. So I think that's another issue that we often struggle with with business in general, I think. But it's mostly, I would say, lack of knowledge. And let's face it, the other issue is that we don't have the time. If this is not what you do for a living, it's a full-time job. It requires, in my opinion, an MBA. That doesn't mean you have to have a formal MBA, but you really need to spend the time educating yourself if you want to do it yourself and do it effectively. So that's the other reason. And I think that women tend to not want to spend the money to pay someone to do it because they think they can use that money for other things. And that other thing could be a new pair of shoes or it could be a new printer for the office. It doesn't matter what that thing is. But they tend to, and I have clients like this, come up with excuses for not spending the money because they need this, this, or this. So then they come to me later on and say, you know what, I really wish I had started sooner. Because the thing is, if you're going to do it, start. You know, don't wait until you have the money. Because it's like any marketing program, any marketing plan, any plan of any kind, it takes time and constant attention. It's like feeding an animal. You can't feed them today and then not feed them for three days and expect them to be as healthy as they were the first day, or even, you know, they're going to want the food more, but is it going to be good for them? No. And the same thing with our business. We need, you know, it's a monster that needs to be fed constantly if you want to see any results, any growth, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that is so true. It really does need to be fed with our attention, and that piece around hiding in our businesses, people afraid to promote themselves. I see that again and again with the women entrepreneurs I work with, that is just, as women, kind of, you know, just a challenge to overcome. And I'm curious, in your own success as a woman leader and educator, what roles have others played in your success, such as partners, mentors, and coaches that you've worked with?
Well, I've had all of the above. And I think the first person that impacted my life was a mentor. And I think a mentor is different than a coach or a partner. A mentor is someone who believes in you and sees something in you perhaps that you don't see in yourself. So if you're lucky enough, and not everybody gets that opportunity, that, not saying they can't go out and find a mentor, but sometimes people just see something in us that we don't see in ourselves, and they will be encouragers, if you will. They might even take you under their wings and say, hey, let me show you how to do this this way, that way. So mentors are, in my opinion, vital, especially when you're first starting, if you're lucky enough to have one. If you're not lucky enough to have a mentor, then a coach is the next best thing. They may not have the same personal investment in it, your success, because a mentor tends to have more of an emotional connection, I would say. Whereas a coach, you know, you're hiring a coach, they're doing their job. They want you to succeed at the same, as much as a mentor does, but their reasons for your success might be different, and so might yours. You know, a coach is going to help you learn things and help you grow in different ways, but they're also very important. And I think that's the other issue women have, is that we tend to not want to part with the money because, and I don't mean every woman, I'm saying this in general terms. I think men are maybe more apt to hire a coach earlier on in their business because they see the benefits, whereas it might take a woman a little longer. Eventually they probably will, but they might not realize how important a coach is. So for me, a coach has been, I've had several coaches. When I first started speaking, I had speaking coaches, people who helped me perfect my craft in a non-threatening way that I didn't have to do it publicly humiliate myself. And that's the same thing with business. If you can hire someone to help you cut your learning curve and bounce ideas off and not have to make those mistakes publicly, then when you get ready to do something, it's going to be much more successful. So that's why coaching's been good. I've had coaches for my business marketing. My first coach in marketing, I hired someone who was really good at marketing her company, and I said, you know, I could really use your help. And she was, at that time, we're talking 25 years ago, coaching was a lot different than it is today. Today it's an entire industry. It was an industry, but maybe people didn't really recognize it as for the value that it was back then. And I guess I was just lucky. I've always been one of those type of people who always look for the next new thing. And what is that that's going to make me different and stand out above everybody else? And so for me, coaching was one of those things. I knew that if I got the right coaches, I would be able to take my business to a level that I couldn't do on my own. And then, so there's mentors and there's coaches. And then I have had business partners. I've not had a lot of success with business partners. I have one that I work with a lot that we do an amazing work together when we do work. And it's usually because we both have this idea and we know that, you know, putting our resources together will triple our results. So that 1 + 1 = 3 is really true. So we will, when we have big ideas, like we want to do a great big event, her and I have done conferences together and made thousands of dollars. We've done workshops together. We've worked together on a business mastermind program for about a year where we got a bunch of people and did this virtual mastermind. And that was good because it took a lot of pressure also off of each of us, in that I could skip a week and she could be there and vice versa. So that's the other thing when you have a partner, is that everything's not on your shoulders. So that's why having a partner is good. And it depends on your business. It depends on your willingness to give up something to get something greater. Because partnerships, you do, it's a give and take. You know, you have to give up part of the profits. Maybe you have to give up some of the control. And so people who have issues with control don't necessarily make good business partners. You know what I mean? And I don't anymore. Excuse me, Chris, I don't have any more because I've had, you know, so many years of experience in business, but now I look to those strategic alliances, those partnerships, those, what's the other word I'm thinking of? You know, Gina Gaudio-Graves, she's so good at venture, what do you call those?
Yes, joint venture.
Joint ventures, those are great too, you know, where you're not actually having a partner, but you're helping each other in different aspects of, say, a particular program. Say it's your program and the other person's helping you promote it to their audience. So the avoid joint ventures are also good too, and I've done a ton of those as well. In fact, I did joint ventures before I ever decided to do a partnership, because I really had a huge issue with control, probably 10, 15 years ago. And it was my idea. I didn't want to give up anything. I didn't want to share the ideas, you know, blah, blah, blah. We all go through these phases in our life where ego tends to take over our common sense, if you will. And I'm not saying everybody does, but for me, it really did. I had this huge ego. I thought I could do better than anybody else. And so I wasn't willing to work with partners. Now I've done a 180 turn, and now I realize that there are people out there a lot smarter than I am that are doing the same thing that I'm doing or similar. And so when we work together, it's just magical. So it's made a big difference. My business tripled in the last 3 years. Actually, in the first year that I started doing these, my business doubled. And since then, it's probably tripled, maybe a little bit more than that. And that's because I'm willing to work with other people and open and enjoy, you know, the give and take, the interaction. There are times when it doesn't always work out. I've had one partner that I worked with on one program, and when it was all said and done, the person pretty much, we were done with the program, pretty much took the whole idea and decided to make it her own. And it taught me a valuable lesson, you know, that maybe you need to have some sort of documentation in place or some sort of written agreement. Now, with this other partner that I work with a lot, I've never had a written agreement, and I guess it's because there's such a strong trust there, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you trust people and they steal, you know, and at this point in my life, you know, if they want to steal my ideas, let them, because what am I going to do with them when I'm gone anyway? You know what I mean?
Right. So, anyway. I love your perspective on that, because I really find that relationships are the source of value, the way that we connect you know, with ourselves on a spiritual level, with our bodies, with other people, and with the earth itself, and just those ways in which we can develop more relational marketing, where it really is about developing different relationships and that trust and intimacy there, I feel like is a big challenge in this day and age, especially with some of the younger generations that I work with, because we came up in an age of the internet, you know, the human connection and the empathy and ability to communicate can really be challenging. And actually, after we take just a short commercial break here, I would like to come back and explore that some more, what has made you such a good communicator. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you get choked up and flush talking about money? Don't let fear and shame stop you from sharing your value. Speak up, sister. Find out how to boost your financial communication skills at www.findyourmoneyvoice.com. Perhaps you're like Gwen, a budding creative entrepreneur who wants to provide for her family, but she has a tough time expressing her needs. She chronically undercharges and lays awake at night with money stress. With Crystal's Find Your Money Voice training, she found renewed confidence speaking her self-worth. Transform beliefs, behaviors, and skills with money. With greater clarity and focus, Gwen more confidently negotiated solid agreements and increased her business earnings with the trainings found at findyourmoneyvoice.com.
Welcome back. We are here with Heidi Richards Mooney, and she is sharing some great wisdom around how to bring your business to the next level and really use social media well. And we were just discussing the importance of relationships with mentors and coaches and partners. And I'm so curious, Heidi, you know, what have you done to really be a better communicator, and how has this made a difference in your business and your life?
Well, you know, I didn't do it on purpose, but a friend of mine invited me one day to a Toastmasters event, and that Toastmasters is an organization that helps people work on their communication skills in a public way, like speaking in public, and sharpen their communication skills, sharpen their speaking, sharpen their, you know, their thought process, their ability to think on their feet, etc. And we're talking again about 25 years ago. I was terrified to stand up in public. I could stand up, give my name and the name of my company, and then I'd quickly sit down. If you asked me a question, I would get all tongue-tied. And I was just terrified of any kind of public communication. Now, one-on-one, I've always really been good at that. I don't know why. I think it was a natural born gift. My mother was a great communicator, and so I could have a conversation with one or two people, no problem. But to get up and publicly speak was a totally different issue. And a friend of mine, again, invited me to a Toastmasters and said, come along. You're going to really like this group. Just check it out. Now, I didn't know the first thing about Toastmasters. I didn't know that there was this thing called a hot seat and that they might actually ask you a question in public. So I went to the meeting. Luckily, they didn't ask me a question the first meeting, but I was so scared it took me a year to go back. And then the funny thing happened is I was on the board of directors of the local chamber of commerce, and I was going to be next in line to be president. And you know, when you're president of an organization like a chamber of commerce that has 1,000 members, guess what you have to do? You have to stand up in public and you have to speak at least once a month at every meeting. So I decided, you know what, maybe we better look at Toastmasters again, because otherwise I'm going to be terrified. I did work around it for a few months because I had a friend who was a former news anchor who was a part of the chamber, and I asked him if he would be my MC. And he said, yeah, but you're going to have to still end the program. So I did the fun part. I just drew business cards. And I did that for about 3 months while I was going through Toastmasters. And then one meeting, he didn't show up. And, of course, I panicked for a few minutes, and then I ran the meeting. And after that, it was like, wow, I could do this. And I think sometimes you have to throw yourself into the fire. And so I didn't purposely throw myself into the fire, but by that happening, it made me a better communicator because I had to be. I had to either, you know, fall flat on my face, or I had to stand up tall and proud and, you know, just, you know, say, hey, I can do this. And I think that communication is a lot about confidence, self-confidence. And so I think that when you lack confidence, and that's usually why people don't want to speak in public, is that it's not that they don't know their stuff. They lack the confidence to deliver it in a way that people will understand. So Toastmasters was a huge help. And, in fact, I ended up starting a new Toastmasters group specifically for our Chamber of Commerce to help other members. Then I went on to be area governor. I tend to, like, go in to anything that I do like that with both feet and really immerse myself. And so that's what I did. So for about 7 years, I was very involved in Toastmasters. And then another friend, somewhere not 7 years later, but maybe 2-3 years later, invited me to a Florida Speakers Association event and said, you're going to love the speakers. You want to come and listen. They're really motivating. And I always loved going to conferences. I love motivational speaking. Back at that time, not speaking, but motivational speakers. Back then, they had this thing called Career Track and a couple of other organizations that would bring in big conferences to the area, and they do this all over the country. And so I'd always sign up for them. They'd be a couple hundred dollars to be an all-day event. I felt very empowered when I would leave, kind of like a Tony Robbins, all-day, cheerleading marathon that he does. I call them cheerleading marathons because that's pretty much what he does, and he's really magical. So FSA, I went to that meeting, and I was hooked, and I joined that. 3 years later, I became president of that and got a couple of awards, and it really honed the business of speaking. So what I realized was that there is this business called speaking where you can actually make money speaking. So that helped me be a better communicator, and it helped me sell more of my products. It helped me become better at relationships. You have to deal with people of all walks of life when you speak from a public platform, because your audiences are usually very diverse. They're made up of different types of people. Even if it's the same industry, everyone is different. And so it just really helped me in learning about human nature. The other thing that helped me being a good communicator was traveling. I found that traveling to different parts of the world helped me to understand people better and realize that, yes, we may have different cultural beliefs and ways of doing things, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and we all have the same wants, needs, and desires. You know, you look at Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. We all need shelter and food and clothing. We all need love. And we all need self-actualization. Self-actualization is feeling that what we do matters, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that once you understand the human need for self-actualization, then being a good communicator to me has been easy because that's what I want to do. I want to help people realize their own dreams and goals. And so that's kind of what that whole communication piece is for me anyway. I love to read, and I think reading is a big part of communication because you can share what you read with people who, you know, either get it or don't get it, whatever it happens to be, you know.
Yeah. I love how you were willing to go to your edge of what was comfortable and just continue to grow. And I just really commend you on that and the success you've had because of that, because even though it was uncomfortable and you were afraid, you found the support, encouragement it took to really take yourself to the next level and get the skills you need. And this is what I see so many people struggling with, is they're unable to talk about money calmly and confidently. And this could be whether it's, you know, pitching something to a group of people in public or having an intimate conversation with their husband or mother about money. I just really find that people, because there's so much shame and fear around finances, and because it's such a taboo in this culture, this is why I'm offering this upcoming course called Find Your Money Voice, because the more people can get comfortable talking to others about money, negotiating, holding firm, while also finding common ground with people, and then we really can develop the relationships that will bring us success and satisfaction. So I'm wondering if you have any advice in particular to people who are struggling talking about money.
Well, obviously, talking about it is one of the best ways to learn. So if you feel like you don't know enough about it, then talking about it helps you learn. But the thing is, not just talking about it, but listening to other people and what their viewpoints are about, doesn't mean that you're going to agree necessarily, but it really is the best way to learn, because you also have to look at things you don't agree with to learn what you do agree with, if you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't have an opinion because we've not really heard all sides of the story. So then once we hear all sides of the story, it's much easier to develop an opinion, to develop confidence, and to be able to talk about things more openly. I don't want to get into the last political race in the United States, but I can tell you that I've never seen people talk more openly about a presidential election than I did this one. And that's because it incited so much emotion on both sides of the fence, Democrat and Republican. The Republicans had their viewpoint, the Democrat had their viewpoint, and it was difficult for people to come together. And the ones that were the most successful conversations, especially on social media, were the ones that were willing to listen to the other person's side, even if they didn't agree at the end of the day. It's all about being able to listen with an open mind and an open heart. And I think money is the same thing. I think that we, you know, I talked about risk-taking in when it comes to social media. Well, money is the same thing. Women tend not to be as big a risk-takers as men when it comes to money. And we also tend to more fix things rather than replace them. So in my opinion, money isn't flowing when you're not buying things, because buying helps the economy and helps all of us. If the money is continually flowing, the money eventually comes back to us. And I just really believe strongly that money is energy. And so when you understand that it's just a means to an end, and it isn't the end, you know, where people sometimes think that the money is the end, it's not the end. It's really just a means to the end. You use your money to travel. You don't use your money to get more money. You want to travel, you want to do things, you want to, you know. I mean, some people do. Some people live their whole lives around money. I always say my starter husband did, and he still does. He's a great human being, and he's very wealthy. And one of the reasons he's wealthy is that his whole mindset has revolved around money. And that's all he thinks about, money and fishing. So, but he uses the money so he can fish, so at least he's enjoying his life, you know, and that's important. So the lack of confidence in understanding about money is one of the issues that we all face. I face it too, because I'm certainly not an expert. I know how to make it, but I don't necessarily know how to invest it properly, which is why I have an investment person. I don't necessarily know how to save it well, so I have people, financial advisors, who help me save it properly. You know, and women also, I think, tend to not want to pay big money for things that we assume other people would not pay big money for. And a perfect example might be, I mentioned coaching earlier. You know, we talk about, I mentioned about coaching. And, you know, maybe when you first start out, you might have a coach that charges you, I don't know, I'll say $100 an hour for one of a, I don't know what an average coach would charge. Because what I do is when I hire coaches, the coaches, I usually have like a package or a plan. So I might have, I might pay $5,000 or $10,000 a year for a coach. And then we have so many times a year that, or a month that we're meeting. And, you know, there's a lot of other things involved. Well, a lot of women won't do that. They won't pay that kind of money because they don't understand what it's going to get them at the end of the year. And maybe it will get them something, maybe it won't. And I often will assume or put that onto the person who is spending the money, not necessarily the coach. Now, there are bad coaches out there, so, you know, I'm not saying go and find a $10,000 a year coach and spend your money. I'm saying you need to find one that's going to work with you and resonate with you and has a proven track record of success with other people in similar industries. Having said that, again, I may not spend $500 on a pair of Manola Blahnik shoes because I just wouldn't spend that kind of money on it, but I would spend $5,000 on a coach, whereas another woman might not spend $500 on the shoes or $5,000 on a coach, you know what I mean? So it's that, and so then they're not willing to charge enough, which is what I think the whole bottom line is I wanted to get to, is that we don't charge enough for our services oftentimes because we don't think other people will pay it. Not because they're not worth it, but because we're afraid that it's too much money and people aren't going to pay it. I remember the day that I raised my rates, my hourly rates. In fact, I don't really have hourly rates anymore. I have packages. And that's in the long run, for most clients, it works out in my favor. But there are clients who get more than they paid for. And that's okay. It all balances out. But for me, once I created packages and stopped with that hourly rate mindset, it was a huge difference, not only in my own life, but in my bottom line. So talking openly about money, finding out what other people are doing, you know, trying to figure out what's best for your business, those are all important things if you want to be successful.
So I thank you for that. That was really insightful. I feel like you brought up some really good points there. And I also know that you have a new book out and also a free resource for people to offer to listeners. So could you tell us about that?
Oh, sure. Well, the free resource, I believe I mentioned to you earlier, was the Smart Marketing Planner and Workbook, which people can get on my website, Quirky Marketing Calendar. It says free planner on the tab. You can click on there if you want. And so it's quirkymarketingcalendar.com. It's a 40-some page workbook that has suggestions for different holidays, because Quirky Marketing Calendar is a book about holidays and how to leverage holidays and special events to promote your business. It's 500 ways to promote your business using zany and non-traditional holidays, basically. And in fact, two of the holidays in there I made up and have actually trademarked. but the fact is that if it works in your business, and for most people it does, you can look at Twitter as a great example, because Twitter now often has one of the trending topics is today is, and it's whatever the day is. So, for instance, today is Milk Day. Today is National Hot Toddy Day. Today is National Learn Your Name in Morse Code Day, Secret Pal Day. There's a lot of different holidays that you can use one of them to create some sort of a cool marketing idea for your business. And that's what the Quirky Marketing Calendar is. And the Smart Marketing Planner uses the holidays in the Quirky Marketing Calendar to create an actual strategic plan that you can use in your business. It also has ideas for suggestions for what you can promote that month in addition to the monthly holidays, you know, how you can promote them, when you can promote them, where you can promote them. And it gives you calendars, et cetera. So that's a really cool free resource that people can download if they'd like to. We'd love to have your listeners check that out and go to quirkymarketingcalendar.com and grab that. And of course, if they're interested in the book, I would be delighted to answer any questions around that at any time. Check that out. There's a lot of holidays are posted on the blog. The book has been made now into 12 editions because it's over 500 pages. So it became too big for a downloadable ebook. So we made it into 12 months. So each month is between 50 and 60 pages of ideas for the month.
Nice.
To promote your business. So that's basically it.
I love it. That's brilliant because, some excitement and fun and levity in marketing. I feel like it does get so serious and people often will see, the drive to seem professional and things and just to connect on a human level in that really fun, timely way, I think is brilliant.
Just so you know, there are some serious holidays in the book too, like Earth Day would be a serious holiday in my opinion. There's the traditional holidays, but there's unusual ways that you can use those holidays to promote your business that are fun, not necessarily over the top. This book, I've been told, can be used in any industry. You can be anything, a financial advisor, an accountant, a pediatrician, a shoe salesperson. It doesn't really matter. Each person's going to pick out the things that work in their business. Not every idea is going to work for every single business. In retail, most of the ideas will work in retail, no matter what you sell pretty much. But for professions, you have to kind of pick and choose. But there's certainly enough ideas for professional people who are in professions, such as legal profession, et cetera, that can still use a lot of the ideas. And, even if it's just a matter of posting, today is so-and-so, what are you doing today? What's your favorite hot toddy? Even if it's just to incite a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, inciting conversation. That really does seem like the heart of what our social media presence can be most effectively, is to engage people and to incite conversation, right?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and some of the secrets to your success, and really encourage listeners to check out that free offer that she has with the marketing calendar planner, and just like Heidi, be willing to go to the edges of your comfort zone and to get the support you need to learn the skills, to get confidence, and to really be able to speak up about your worth and the way you want to be of service in the world. So this was super inspiring. I so appreciate your time today, Heidi, and really hope that this kicks listeners off into new inspiring patterns with their business in this new year. So thank you so much for your time today, Heidi.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to subscribe to the show and rate and review our podcast at iTunes. Be sure to visit www.moneymorphosis.com. That's money-morphosis.com to join the growing community of empowered women who are dedicated to creating the true wealth they deserve.